Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great show for you guys on tap for today. 5 days away from the college basketball season. Tom Casale join us here in moments to preview the upcoming season. Should be a really good one. We'll also dive in to all the Power Four conferences, look at the odds for all those teams to win the regular season title. We'll look at some college football, give out some best bets upcoming in Week 10, and then also look at the Week 9 NFL slate. We looked at half of the games yesterday. We will look at the other half today. We're going to have Kate Constable join us later on in the show for Model Making Money, and then we'll wrap up the show with all of our favorite plays. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. Just let us know anything that's on your mind there in the comments. We'll try and answer all of your questions. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. The Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's talk some college basketball, though. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Tom Casale joins us. Give him a follow on X at the Tom Casale. Does great stuff. College basketball and college football analyst for Sportsline. All right, Tom, can't wait for the upcoming season. Obviously, the big storyline, UConn going for the three-peat. We got a lot of stud freshmen. Obviously, Cooper Flagg at Duke. There are going to be a lot of really good teams this year. Anything currently in the market, any bets that you have fired away on for teams to win the national championship?
Yeah, so I took Gonzaga, but that was back in April at 30-1. They're now 17-18-1. I think what you're going to want to look at with the Zags is a 20-1 or better. Now, Gonzaga is a unique team in the futures market because they play two different seasons. They play that really tough non-conference schedule, and then they get in a conference where they're not going to lose often, right? So there's always a game with Gonzaga. I say you got to get them now. And that's going to be UCLA in December. I forgot the exact date. It's like mid, late December. After that game, the Zags are, you know, they might lose once to St. Mary's, but their numbers aren't going to change much after that. So I think with their tough non-conference schedule, you can hold right now and kind of wait and see if you get a better number because they might lose a game or two. The other team I kind of like is actually the team they're playing to open up the season. I like Baylor this year. I like what they've done getting some pieces that are going to help them defensively. When you watch Baylor win the national championship a few years ago, they were very good defensively. They haven't had that kind of team since under Scott Drew. I think they get back to it this year, but again, similar to college football, what I preach to people when they told me, hey, Alabama, Georgia doesn't matter this year. And I was like, that's the exact opposite. I think the exact opposite. There's so many, these super conferences, there's so many tough games now. You look at a Baylor, I think you wait on them. So I haven't hit them yet. But they're going to lose some games here. I mean, that Big 12 is a nightmare, and they have a tough non-conference schedule. So I'm in with Gonzaga. I like Baylor, but I say wait on both of those teams.
Yeah, I think both are great points. As you mentioned, they actually tip off the season against one another on Monday night, Gonzaga and Baylor. Tom, what do you make of that Big 12? I mean, it's been one of the best league, if not the best league in college basketball the last couple of years. Now Arizona comes into the mix. You have Kansas, who's the number one preseason team. Iowa State's going to be really good. Obviously, Houston. I mean, how do you see that Big 12? Do you like Baylor the best of those teams, or is it still Kansas or Houston for you?
Yeah, it's going to be, listen, it's going to be similar to SEC football. It's going to be every game, every week is going to be tough. The two teams I kind of like, I had Iowa State last year at 70-1. I still like this Iowa State team. If they can just get a little bit more offense going, you know, the defense we know is going to be great. Listen, Houston's going to be good. Kansas is, that last year was an aberration, right? The Kansas is back. They're going to be a top 10 team again. They're going to be tough. But, you know, when you talk about Duke compared to these teams, see, I would actually bet Duke now. Because I don't think the ACC has good high-end teams. I think they have some good teams in the mid of the pack. The other thing you got to remember about Duke is the liability that the sports books already have on them. So you're not going to get like plus 1500 with Duke. You're just not going to see it this year. Plus, I think they're going to dominate in the ACC. Whereas the Big 12, I think there's so many good teams. They're going to beat each other up. I think some of these teams that enter the preseason with these lower odds, hold off and wait. You're going to get a better number at some point during the season.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. What do you make of the Big Ten this year, Tom? Obviously, Purdue's kind of been the class of that league with Edie the last couple of years. But with him gone, to me, it kind of feels like Florida State in football this year, right? Like, they won it last year. You maybe have to give them the benefit of the doubt. But it feels like that conference could be wide open. Who do you like in the Big Ten this year?
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, when I talked about Alabama in college football, I said, still a good team, but you can't tell me losing Nick Saban doesn't hurt. I mean, right. He's the best coach, best team coach in my lifetime, I think. So now you're talking about Purdue losing one of the most dominant college basketball players we've ever seen, right? So I'm not saying they won't be good, but there's no scenario where I don't see Purdue taking a step back without Zach Edey. That leaves the conference wide open. I took a shot on Ohio State. You can still get them around 10-1. I like the makeup of this team. You know, one of the things I look for, I like experience. I like a couple of impact transfers. Don't have to have 10 of them. Just a couple guys who are going to impact. Then I like to see if you get like a five-star or a couple five-star recruits. And that mix, I think, as the season goes on, is a good mix. That's what Ohio State has. So my advice with the Big Ten would be, look at a team a little bit further down the trough, like an Ohio State, a Rutgers, a team in that area, because like you said, and I agree, it's going to be wide open in the Big Ten this year.
No question. I love the Ohio State pick as well. John Diebler took over midseason for Chris Holtman last year and looked really impressive. So excited to see him in his first full season. Tom, what about teams that you're fading maybe at the top, right? Like, there obviously are going to be some teams that aren't going to be as good as maybe we perceive them to be coming into the season. Who are some teams that you're down on to start the year?
Well, I wouldn't say down, but listen, UConn is still loaded, right? Yeah. They're loaded. But they're not the last 2 years loaded, where they were just, last year they were so good. So I think early in the season, what you're going to get is a little bit of an overvalue on UConn, where I think this team's actually going to be better later in the season. Once, you know, they lost some key pieces, and they brought in some guys. They got talent. You're looking at last year's freshman class that needs to step up now. I think that's going to take Hurley a little bit of time. So I think early in the season, not that they're going to be bad, but they might be a little bit overvalued in the betting market, just a touch. And, you know, I think people, listen, North Carolina is a good team. I think Duke is better by a decent amount in the ACC. That's why I was saying, like, I think that's the only team on paper that can really challenge Duke, and I don't know if they will. Mm-hmm. I don't love Hubert Davis. I just don't. And I feel like this Carolina team might be a little bit overvalued entering the year. So those are two teams I don't necessarily think will be bad, but I think early in the year when they're playing these tough games could be a little bit overvalued in the betting market.
I like it. Tom, what about any mid-majors? Obviously, last year we had James Madison, first game of the season, had that upset over Michigan State, and then they turned out to be one of the best mid-majors coming in to the NCAA tournament. As you're doing all your prep, any mid-major teams that stick out to you that maybe people keep in mind when we get towards tournament time?
Sure. I mean, the Missouri Valley is always tough. They got some good teams this year. I like Murray State this year. I think they bring back a nice nucleus. Their guard play is really good. So that's a team I'm looking at with them and Bradley in the Missouri Valley. I think both teams are going to be good. You know, High Point is a really good basketball team. They played some tough games last year. They're loaded returning. I mean, you look at their odds to win the conference, it's like minus 200. So I think that's an interesting team to watch. And if you want to go further, a little bit further, I'll give you Little Rock, I think, is a really good team. That's a team I'm going to be on early in the season. And I'll say this. I think the Ivy League is as tough as I've seen in the last few years. I think there's some good teams in the Ivy, and we always know that you don't get as much value in the tournament anymore with the Ivy. I mean, we just saw Yale beat Auburn, but watch out for who wins the Ivy and keep an eye on Brown. I think Brown is a really good team, and I think they're sneaky in the Ivy League this year.
I like it. Tom, what would your advice to people be betting college basketball early on in the season? You hear so many people talking about how it's such a great sport to take advantage of early on in the year. What are certain things you look for? What kind of teams are you betting on early in the season?
So early in the year, I stick to the lower conferences, the smaller ones, because they have more returning pieces and you can kind of get a good idea of what to expect with some of these teams. And some will be, like you already just look at some of the KenPom numbers for that opening night, and I'm already seeing a couple games I think that are a couple points off. So I really stick to the smaller conferences early on. And then when I start to get more data, you know, I'm big on turnovers, on rebounding edges, and things like that. So we don't have that yet. So right. Really what we're going on is based on returning production. And I'm big on, you know, everyone likes to use the word returning production. I want quality returning production. I mean, if you won four games last year and you return everybody, that might not be a good thing. So I'm looking for kids who can play, who are juniors and seniors in these smaller conferences, like a Little Rock. I think that matters more now than ever with a transfer portal. So that if you study those smaller conferences, I think it gives you an edge early in the year. And then again, just look for some of these bigger schools that are a touch overvalued. Again, UConn is good, but it's not last year's UConn team. But the market is still going to be, I mean, this team has covered like 95 straight NCAA tournament games, right? The people remember that, right? So just maybe look at that and just try to take advantage of a couple of these bigger teams that are a little overvalued to start the year.
Tom, before I let you go, college football week 10, obviously you do great work handicapping college football as well. Is there a better two that you like on the card this week?
Yeah, I went with Arkansas getting a touchdown at home against Ole Miss. These two teams typically play wild, crazy games. I think we see another one. I don't hate the over there either. I know Ole Miss has a great defense on paper, but they haven't played a lot of explosive offenses yet. And I think Arkansas is going to be able to do some things offensively. And then, you know, listen, Iowa at home against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's kind of an easy team to figure out. If you stop their run, they don't score much. And Iowa gives up 70 yards per game on the ground at home. I think Iowa shuts them down and covers the 3 points against Wisconsin.
Yeah, love it. Awesome stuff. Tom Casale, give him a follow on X at the Tom Casale, college football and basketball analyst for Sportsline, joining us here on Send It In. Tom, really appreciate the time. Enjoy college football this weekend. Enjoy the start of college basketball. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, no problem. Great stuff there from Tom Casale. All right, guys, let's keep it going. Previewing the Power Four conferences in college basketball for the upcoming season. We will start with the Big Ten, which I think is a really interesting league this year. Tom talked about it, and I completely agree with him. I think Ohio State is the team that I would watch out for this year in the Big Ten at 10-1. John Diebler, when he took over middle of the season for Chris Holtmann, did a really good job. They upset Purdue. They beat Michigan State in East Lansing. They looked really good in the Big Ten tournament. They got Bruce Thornton coming back, who's going to be one of the better players in the Big Ten. And then, as Tom mentioned, they went into the transfer portal and got some impact players. Michi Johnson, who was very good for South Carolina last year, he comes over. They went out and got Micah Parrish from San Diego State. He was on the national championship team that played against UConn. So they got some veteran pieces. They're going to be a really good defensive team this year. And I like what I saw out of John Diebler as a coach. I think the Big Ten's wide open. As I was telling Tom, I think the Big Ten this year in college basketball is very similar to what the ACC was in college football. It just feels like we made Florida State the favorite because Clemson has had some down years, because Florida State went undefeated last season. We were just kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt that they would reload and figure it out. Kind of feels the same with Purdue. Now, Purdue's got some good players. Braden Smith's going to be one of the best point guards in the country. But Zach Edey was everything for Purdue the last two seasons. And obviously, you just don't replace a guy like that. So I think Purdue, they're gettable this year at the top of the Big Ten. I would look at some middle-of-the-pack teams. I think Ohio State's a good look at 10-1. As for the Big East, again, UConn, everybody's going to love the Huskies. They're trying to go for three national titles in a row. But they are missing some key guys. There's no more Tristan Newton. There's no more Donovan Klingon. They don't have kind of the anchors that have been on those teams the last couple seasons. Hurley's had to go into the transfer portal, and he's had to figure this thing out. Now, they're going to be loaded, and they're going to continue to get better as the season goes on. But I do think that there's some value on Creighton and on St. John's in the Big East. Now, Creighton's going to probably have the Big East Player of the Year in Ryan Kalkbrenner, who returns. Steven Ashworth, their point guard, returns as well. They went into the transfer portal, got Pop Isaacs from Texas Tech. Creighton's kind of building their team like they always do. They're going to have a great starting lineup, not much depth, but their starting lineup's going to win a lot of games for them. And because, obviously, of how great UConn's been the last couple of years, I think that maybe you're getting some good value on Creighton at plus 375 and St. John's at plus 550. Rick Pitino's the head coach. He's finally been there long enough where he can start bringing in some of his guys. He got transfer Kadari Richmond to come over from Seton Hall. I think that's going to be a great match with Pitino. So keep an eye on the Johnnies this year. I think Creighton and St. John's both worth a look. SEC, we talked about the state of Alabama a couple days ago. Auburn and Alabama are both going to be really good again in basketball this year. I think Bama might be the best team in college basketball to start the season. Might have the best player in Mark Sears. All the returning talent. They got five stars. They went into the transfer portal and got some key pieces as well. They're going to be good. Auburn's going to be great as well. Jani Broome's one of the best big man defensively. They're going to be one of the better teams. And I love getting these teams in college basketball that lose an embarrassing first round game like Auburn did to Yale in the tournament. You bring some of those key guys back, right? We saw what Virginia did when they lost to UMBC, come back and win the title the following year. We saw what Purdue did after losing to FDU. They come back and go to the national championship. Now, Auburn's not as good as both of those teams, but they are good enough to make a deep run in the tournament. So I like Auburn and Bama this year. Both Nate Oates and Bruce Pearl have been excellent in the regular season the last 4 or 5 years, so I keep an eye on them. I also like Texas A&M as well. Wade Taylor is still there for Texas A&M. He's a really good point guard, one of the better players in the SEC. They return a lot of other production. They brought in some key pieces. A&M was a team that went 15-3 in the SEC a couple years ago, and a lot of those guys are still there. They had a down regular season last year. I think they have a bounce back year this year. Keep an eye on A&M at 17-1. They might be worth a look. And then the Big 12, we were talking about with Tom. I mean, what a conference this is, just at the top with Kansas and Houston and Baylor, Iowa State, Arizona comes into the mix now. I mean, we're going to get like Final Four type matchups, Elite Eight type matchups on a nightly basis in this conference. When it's all said and done, though, Bill Self's got another ridiculously good team, and Bill Self just knows how to win regular season titles. So if you're giving me Bill Self and Kansas at plus 240 to win the conference, I'm going to take the chalk, and I will bet the Jayhawks to win the Big 12 at plus 240. All right, let's talk some college football now. Get into the games that I like the best this weekend. The favorite, the underdog, the over-under, and outright winner that I like the best this year. We will start with the over that I like the best on Saturday. That's going to be in Arizona and UCF with a total of 55.5. Both of these teams have had some really disappointing seasons. Arizona and UCF were both thought of maybe to be some sleeper teams in the Big 12 this year. Both teams have struggled on defense a lot. Both can still score, and both have very good quarterbacks and playmakers as well. UCF's one of the best running teams in the Big 12. I think Arizona's going to be able to stop the run. And the combination of Fafita to T-Mac, the wide receiver, is one of the best in college football. I think it's going to be tough for UCF to deal with. So I'll take the over 55.5 in that one. Give me the under in Arkansas and Ole Miss. We've been talking about this game. There's supposed to be some rain in Fayetteville they're calling for. Early start, 12 p.m. Eastern time kick, 12 noon kickoff. And I talked about it yesterday. Arkansas's had a difficult schedule this year. They played A&M. They played LSU. They played Tennessee as well. And all of these games have fallen way short of the total at 53.5 that's in this game with those two teams. Ole Miss is the best defense that Lane Kiffin's ever had, and their offense just hasn't been as explosive as we thought it would be this year. I expect kind of another 24-20 type game between these two. I'll go under 53.5 between Arkansas and Ole Miss. The favorite that I like the best this week is going to be SMU -7.5 against Pittsburgh. It's a massive game in the ACC. Both of these teams are undefeated in conference play this year. The problem is that SMU's actually played some teams. Pitt is one of these undefeated teams that has played absolutely nobody, and I think they get a reality check on Saturday going up against SMU. I've said it a couple times this week already, but SMU in their last game against Duke lost the turnover battle 6-0 on the road and was still able to win that game in overtime. How many teams in college football can overcome losing the turnover battle 6-0 and still win the game? SMU's a good team. Their only loss this year was to BYU by a field goal. I'll take the Mustangs -7.5. Underdog I like. Give me Air Force +22.5 against Army. Obviously, Army's having an incredible season. Another one of these undefeated teams, though, that really haven't played anybody. And obviously, the familiarity with both of these teams. They're built the same way. They're military academy schools. They both run the wishbone. And going back to 2009, that is the last time that this game has been decided by more than 3 touchdowns. We're getting 22.5. Air Force has not had a good season, but they're absolutely going to get up for this game. The familiarity with both teams, I'll take Air Force +22.5. And then give me South Carolina outright +115 against Texas A&M. Gamecocks are coming off a bye week. This is a massive game for them if they want a chance at making a bowl game this year. And it looks like Texas A&M is going to go with Marcel Reed, their dual threat quarterback who came in the second half of the LSU game for Connor Wegman. LSU had no idea how to defend him. South Carolina is going to put a game plan in for him this week. Their quarterback is also a dual threat, so I think they're going to be much better equipped, much more disciplined, and have much more familiarity dealing with that. We'll take South Carolina outright to pull the upset against Texas A&M. All right, let's talk some NFL. Once again here on Send It In. Yesterday we looked at half the slate. Today we will look at the other side of games. We got the Bills -6 on Sunday at home against the Dolphins with a total of 50. This game kind of feels like the season for Miami, right? You lose this, you're 2-6, not looking great, certainly to win the division, but not even making the wild card picture. Tua came back last week for Miami, and as you would expect, the offense looked way better. This is a divisional matchup, and Miami's playing for their lives. Anytime you can get a game like this where a team is absolutely in desperation mode and they need this game, and it's a divisional matchup, always going to lean towards that side, especially the fact that Miami gets to play in Buffalo during the day. They're calling for mid-50 degree weather. It's supposed to be sunny. Obviously, a huge advantage there for the team from South Florida. So I'll take Miami plus the points. Give me the Eagles in a teaser this week at -1.5 against Jacksonville. Jags have a bunch of injuries to their receiving core. Brian Thomas is going to be out. Christian Kirk is out for the year. Their defense continues to be a mess. You got Doug Peterson obviously going up against his former team. Jacksonville's still playing hard, so I think they'll rally for their head coach. Don't want to touch the 7.5. I do think Philly wins the game, though. I like them in a teaser this week at -1.5. Give me the Cardinals on the money line this week, -110 against the Bears. Bears are coming off of one of the toughest losses you'll see a team suffer all season, obviously, with the Hail Mary. The reason I really like this game, though, is because it's a fade of Matt Eberflus on the road. He is 3-17 straight up in his career as Bears coach on the road. It almost feels like it's made up, it's so bad, but he has been terrible on the road since he's been a head coach of the Bears. I'll take Arizona to pick them this week at home. Give me the Packers +3.5 against the Lions this week. Matt LaFleur 17-4 against the spread in his career as an underdog of 3 or more points. He is excellent in these spots. Whether it's Jordan Love, whether it's Malik Willis, I really don't think it matters to me. It's more of a bet on LaFleur, and it's also a fade of Jared Goff, who finally gets to play his first game outdoors this season. It's week 9. Jared Goff's played indoors the first 7 games of the year. Now he finally gets to go outdoors. If you know anything about football, anything about Jared Goff, you know the splits when he's indoors to outdoors. Very drastic. We'll take the Packers plus the points. Give me the Rams in a pick'em against Seattle as well. I like the trajectory of this Rams team right now. They're starting to get healthy on offense. They're starting to look like that team we saw in the second half of last season. I don't think they're going to trade away Cooper Kupp. I think they're going to continue try and win this division, which is wide open right now. And Seattle, very shockingly, has been a terrible home team this season. They lost to the Bills on Sunday. They lost to the Niners, lost to the Giants. They have not been a good home team this year. We've seen the Rams flip from an underdog to a favorite. I'll take LA minus 125. Give me the Vikings -5.5 against the Colts. Now, if Anthony Richardson was starting, this would have been an absolute slam spot on Minnesota with Richardson going up against a Brian Flores defense. I still like Minnesota, though, in this game. Flacco, obviously, you like the Colts a lot better with him starting, but this feels one of those games like it's going to be the Flacco turnover game going up against Flores and that defense. Great trade by Minnesota to go and get Cam Robinson to replace Christian Darrisaw up front. I like Minnesota in a bounce back -5.5. And give me the Chiefs -9 on Monday Night Football against the Bucks as well. The Chiefs normally don't cover these big spreads. It just does feel like it's way too much, which kind of makes me think that the Chiefs are the right side. Baker and the offense have been scoring points on everybody this season. This is the best defense they're going to face, though, in Kansas City. I like Mahomes and the Chiefs at home this week, so I'll take KC -9. All right, let's go. Before we go to model making money, promo from our friends at BetMGM. We've all had our first touchdown bet vulture to call back before. BetMGM's Pro Football Second Chance. We're giving you a second chance on first touchdown bets this season. Place any first touchdown score wager, and if your player doesn't score first but scores second, get your entire stake back in cash. No opt-in required. How does it work? You place a pregame straight first touchdown score bet in any NFL game. If your player scores the first touchdown in the game, you win your wager as normal. If your player scores the second touchdown in the game, you'll get your stake back in cash. Only straight bets apply to second chance. Any wager using a bonus bet or other reward token is ineligible for the campaign. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Kate Constable here on a Wednesday. And Kate, what does the BetQL model like for us today? What are some of the five-star plays?
Hey, PJ, yeah, five-star plays in the NBA today. One on the first half in Pelicans and Warriors. The model likes the Pelicans +1 in the first half as a five-star play today. It's the model would make this line if it could. Pelicans -1.5. So a 2.5-point difference from the current line. These two teams played just last night. So one of those little mini-series back-to-back. No Steph Curry once again for the Warriors. And last night, the Pelicans won the first half 51-47. So won by 4 points in the first half. The model likes them to cover +1 again tonight.
All right, very good. Kate, what about yourself? What do you like in the NBA tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking at this Grizzlies game with the Brooklyn Nets. I like the Grizzlies in the first quarter. I like them to get off to a fast start, whether you want to take them to cover -4.5 or the Grizzlies team total over 30.5. That's my favorite play of the two. But Memphis is 4-0 against the spread so far this year in the first quarter. In terms of their team total, they've also scored 32, 34, 38, 29. They're top three in offensive rating, top three in net rating, and fifth in pace. So they're going to push the pace, score a bunch, and the Nets have actually been pretty good in the first quarter offensively. Defensively, not so much. So I think the Grizzlies can get off to a hot start, especially because Brooklyn is on an overtime back-to-back with travel. They went into overtime and lost last night against the Nuggets in Brooklyn. Now they're on the road in Memphis. So give me the Grizzlies early in this one, over 30.5 points in the first quarter.
All right, first quarter, Kate is back. I like it there in
That's
the
right.
NBA.
There we go.
Kate, what do you like in the World Series tonight? Do you think the Dodgers get it done? Do you think the Yankees send it back to LA? Any props? What do you like in the World Series tonight?
I mean, like, you never want a team to start to get hot. That's not a good situation to be in if you're with the Dodgers, allowing the offensive outburst last night that the Yankees had. But, I mean, up until midway through the game last night, like, this Yankees offense has done nothing all season. So does one outburst change things for the Dodgers the way they approach tonight? I'm not sure. I would stick with backing LA. I know the popular play is that the Yankees are going to get hot. They're going to push this to 7 games, and it's going to end up being a great series. I don't think so. I would take the Dodgers on the money line to get it done in game 5.
All right, very good. And then, Kate, real quick, in about 30 seconds, week 9 in the NFL, what's your favorite bet right now?
Yeah, I'll go just Thursday Night Football at PJ. Joe Mixon, over 80.5 rushing yards. You have no Stephon Diggs, no Nico Collins. Mixon's had 100-plus yards in back-to-back games and 3 or 4 of his 5 this season. Jets defense has not been good against the run, especially since firing Robert Saleh. So Joe Mixon, over 80.5 rushing yards tomorrow.
Love it. Great stuff. Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. Kate, good luck tonight, and we will talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. Beef underscore VZ, does Louisville basketball improve this year? I think they do. I like Pat Kelsey a lot as a head coach. They went out and got Sun Belt Player of the Year last year from James Madison, Terrence Edwards. I think Louisville could be a bet to watch in the ACC conference tournament. Not much the regular season, but conference tournament, I potentially like Louisville there. As for some bets that I like tonight, give me the Yerfi, yes run first inning, minus 105 between the Dodgers and the Yankees. Now, Flaherty and Gerrit Cole both were very good in game one, especially Gerrit Cole. However, in that first inning, Cole was a little fortunate. He threw some fastballs that Betts and Ohtani just missed in the first inning. We obviously know Freddie Freeman's been on a tear in the first inning as well. I could see the Yankees getting off to a hot start tonight, too. We'll go Yerfi, minus 105. Dog of the day, LeBron, Bronny, they're in Cleveland tonight as the Lakers take on the Cavs. You know the Lakers are going to be ready for this one. Cleveland's undefeated this season. They might be due for a loss. I'll take the Lakers, +4.5 with LeBron back in Cleveland. And then my best bet in college basketball, Ohio State to win the Big Ten at 10-1. Tom Casale likes it. I'm right there with him. I like this Buckeyes team. Feels like the Big Ten's going to be open this year. Maybe somebody in the middle of the pack can win the league. I think Ohio State could be that team. Thanks again to Tom Casale, Kate Constable for joining us today on Send It In. Appreciate you guys listening, sending in your comments. Good luck tonight, and we will see you tomorrow.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.